Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am the most consistent motherfucker you know, Dave Smith. He is the king of the calks, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. What's up, my brother? I'm pretty pumped up for this episode.
I'm just enjoying the last days that I can spend indoors in New York City.
Yeah, really, really enjoy it. Enjoy that enjoy that non-fresh air of inside New York City. The least fresh air in the world inside in New York City. All right, yeah, so let's jump right into this. I have been saying for quite a while now, several months, that I think the biggest concern right now are these vaccine passports. The concept is just appalling. It's not just that it's not just the slippery slope aspect of it, which is very real. It's the actual proposed idea is just outrageous. And this is something that's been pushed by a lot of, very powerful people. It was floated out by the Biden administration on a national level. They walked that back when there was a lot of outrage, against it. And it's been tried in other countries and has been put into practice in other countries. It is now officially been declared that it is coming to America and coming to New York City, the biggest city in the country and, you know, my hometown. And it was announced by Mayor Bill de Blasio yesterday. And I believe the enforcement date is September 13th. I think it's supposed to start in the next couple weeks. So I sent Brian the video here. Why don't we pull it up? I'm trying to think around. I think I have the timestamp here. Let's pull it up to around 3 minutes and 40 seconds into the video when he starts to get into the announcement. Let's listen to what the mayor has to say and discuss.
Beat COVID. So today I announce a new approach, which we're calling the Key to NYC Pass, the Key to New York City. When you hear those words, I want you to imagine the notion that because someone's vaccinated, they can do all the amazing things that are available in this city. This is a miraculous place, literally full of wonders. And if you're vaccinated, all that's going to open up to you. You'll have the key. You can open the door. But if you're unvaccinated, unfortunately, you will not be able to participate in many things. That's the point we're trying to get across. It's time for people to see vaccination as literally necessary to living a good and full and healthy life. Key to NYC Pass will be a first in the nation approach. It will require vaccination for workers and customers in indoor dining, in indoor fitness facilities, indoor entertainment facilities. This is going to be a requirement. The only way to patronize these establishments indoors will be if you're vaccinated, at least one dose. The same for folks in terms of work. They'll need at least one dose. This is crucial because we know this will encourage a lot more vaccination. We've seen it already. We've seen the impact of the mandate we've put in place for city workers, already starting to move people to vaccination. We've obviously seen the positive impact of incentive as well. The goal here is to convince everyone that this is the time. If we're going to stop the Delta variant, the time is now.
All right, so let's pause it right there. Whenever the politicians use the word convince, it doesn't mean the same thing that you and me mean when we say that. Convince, he goes, we know that this works. I mean, look at the mandates in city workers. Like, oh yeah, if you force people to do something, you might be able to get them to do that. You know, it's like a rapist telling you that rape works because we were able to convince that woman to have sex by forcing her. Like, oh, okay, that's not exactly. So let's just be clear here and take apart the euphemisms and like view this accurately for what he just said. Because this is creep. This is like really something, a real moment in this nation's history. The mayor of New York City just announced that he's turning New York City, not just some random town in America, but pretty, you know, a pretty relevant one. He's turning it into an apartheid caste system. Flat out. That's what he just said. There are now two levels in this caste system, and the unvaccinated level do not have basic human liberties. That's what he just said in his own, I mean, he describes it in nicer terms, but what he said, they don't have the key to the city. They cannot enjoy the wonderful things about New York. They cannot, what were his words, participate in society. I mean, this is a direct, just, this is what he's saying, factually speaking. This is what he's done.
And and by government mandate, I'm not allowed to own and operate a business and say, I will cater to the unvaxxed.
Now, by what authority he is able to do that? Well, he didn't really get into that. All under emergency powers, you know, stuff, which never goes bad. You know, emergency powers, that's never been misused by tyrannical governments. And what will the punishments be? Also hasn't been clear about that. Just letting you know that this is a requirement to convince people.
And what's the punishment going to be on him for if this turns out to be non-constitutional or that he doesn't have the authority to tell me I can't live my life for another year?
Yeah.
But there should be a punishment on him. I mean, I've said it before, but it's outrageous that they get to act first and then discover unconstitutional later without any penalty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's hope that this is deemed unconstitutional. But regardless of that, just sticking with where we are right now, I mean, this is an outright declaration of war against people who don't want to be vaccinated. They have now been informed that they will be, as of next month, second-class citizens in their own city. By their mayor, by what authority? He decided. He has it. That's it. There's no other way. Listen, I said this on Fox News last night, and I got into an argument with some Democrat lady who didn't know what the hell she was talking about. But there's really no other way to spin this. I mean, if you believe that basic human liberties, like, and we're talking about very basic things, you know, the right to go have some dinner or go to a show, go to a ball game, or, you know, go to the gym and work out. By the way, ironically, probably the best thing you can do for COVID is be in good shape. It's just sickening. These fucking, I'm going to have trouble keeping it together on this episode. These fucking psychopaths, these fucking blood-soaked monsters are going to sit there and say they'll give you a Krispy Kreme donut if you go get your fucking vaccination, and then then shut you out of a gym and pretend that they care about your health. Ugh, Rob, when you talk about ramifications, what the ramifications should be for the government officials who push this stuff, I'm not going to say on the show, because that might get us in trouble and it could be misinterpreted the wrong way, or even worse, it could be interpreted the correct way. So, you know, the idea that this is for health. Anyway, if you believe that basic human liberties are contingent upon consumption of a product from a giant pharmaceutical company that is in bed with the government that made this product off taxpayer money that is shielded from liability from their customers by the government, that is, you know, then you are a fascist. I know that word gets thrown around a lot and inaccurately. You are literally, by definition, a fascist, if that's what you believe. Bill de Blasio is a fascist. Everybody who supports him doing this is a fascist. That's real deal fascism. Yeah, turns out the risk of fascism was never from 200 right-wingers in Charlottesville in 2017 chanting mean things. Turns out that's not really where fascism was going to come from. It's from this supposedly progressive mayor, Bill de Blasio. This is something that is going to transform New York City. And I just hope that people understand how big a deal this is. This is my hope is that there is enough pushback on this. I mean, I hope we see massive boycotts, massive protests. I mean, maybe protests on the ground makes sense, massive protests on social media. There should be so much fury over this that they walk it back and don't end up doing this. We've got until September to when they're saying that they're going to start enforcing this. But it's just so disgusting. This guy who is just, I mean, along with Cuomo, destroyed New York City. The last 16 months have been the worst 16 months in New York City in my lifetime, in my 38 years, at which I've almost all been spent in New York City. And the city's just starting to get a little bit of its life back, just starting to come back a little bit. And he's going to cram this down people's throats. So, all right. I mean, you can... Let me break it down like this, and then we can get into some of the other things about how awful this is and how it should be attacked. But let's think about the slippery slope of this a little bit, okay? Let's think about, logically, where this is going. Where can this go? Well, first of all, this will never go away. This will be here forever. Because, as we know, how long do the vaccines really give you immunity for? What are the best guesses? 8 months, maybe a year at most. They're already pushing boosters in Israel. If it's anything like the flu vaccine, you're going to need one of these every year. This coronavirus isn't going anywhere. It's going to be with us forever. There's going to be different variants and different things. You know, it's not going anywhere. So, of course, you're going to have to keep getting your vaccine. Every year, you're going to have to keep getting your vaccine. Now, right now, he's saying you can have your vaccine card or you can have this app. How long you think the card's going to last? How easy of a transition is it to now go, too many people are faking their cards? Really, the only way to verify is with the app. And of course, then the app has all the backdoor features that can trace your medical history, your location, all of this shit. And now you can be fucking shut off. Unpersoned, right? Well, that's a pretty dangerous amount of power to hand the government. Now think about it like this, right? Once you build this structure, what's to stop more requirements from being added to your app that allows you to be a person, that allows you to have a key to the city, a New Yorker? You're offering someone a key to their own fucking city. Now, what's to stop them from another pharmaceutical product? Why are we just limiting it to the COVID vaccine? Maybe there's more. All it takes at this point is some fucking lobbyist from a big pharma company to convince a politician, you know, those noble, wonderful people, politicians, to add something else to this. And they already have the entire structure in front of them of how to turn you off, how to unperson you. And that's it. You've now put the government in charge of determining whether someone's allowed to go to a restaurant. Good fucking job, New York City. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, who we need more than ever, and that is iTrust Capital. I know everybody who listens to this show has been paying attention to what government's been doing with our money. If you've read Rothbard, as I'm sure most of you are, you know that what they've done over the last 16 months, not to mention over the last couple decades, is bound to have effects. And we're already seeing the inflation really start to roll in. So more and more people are getting interested in cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and in precious metals like gold and silver to protect their wealth. If you are interested in investing in crypto or precious metals, the smartest way to do that is investing with retirement accounts like IRAs or 401ks. And the absolute best way to do that is with iTrust Capital. All iTrust accounts are IRAs, which means you can invest and trade your crypto and gold tax-free on their 24/7 platform. If you have an existing IRA or another retirement account like a 401k, you can roll that over with no penalties or taxes. iTrust Capital makes investing in crypto safe and easy. You can log into your account 24/7 and invest at the push of a button. Now crypto can be traded as easily as stocks. No keys, no complex process. iTrust Capital also makes investing in physical gold and silver easy. iTrust uses a blockchain ledger that gives you digital ownership of physical gold held at the Royal Canadian Mint. So this isn't a security or a derivative. It's not a future or some other financial contract. This is fully backed by physical gold and it's deliverable upon request. The best part, iTrust Capital has low transparent pricing that is 90% cheaper than their competitors. So if you're looking for an IRA to trade crypto or precious metals tax-free, go on over to itrustcapital.com. If you use the promo code POTP, you're going to get your first month for absolutely free. Plus, they're going to send you a crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide for free. So once more, go to itrustcapital.com, use that promo code POTP. You'll get your first month for absolutely free, and you will receive the crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide at no cost. If you're interested in learning more about the company, I had a great conversation with the CEO. He's a great guy, and he explained a lot of what they do. That is up at the Gas Digital sponsor page, so definitely go check that out. itrustcapital.com, promo code POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. I tweeted the other day, I never thought I would say this in my life, but I wish New York City had the intelligence of Florida and the toughness of France.
It also defies modern medicine. I was talking to a doctor and he said that the technological developments are going to be more custom solutions for your personal medical history. There are already medications that they've noticed are better suited for instance, African-Americans that don't work as well in the white population. They're starting to realize that certain medications, they're just better for certain groups of people and other groups of people. I think you'll even find out with these vaccines that the utility of them are probably for people in certain age groups and that maybe the Moderna is better for certain groups of people. Yeah. And the Pfizer's, maybe this all sounds racist to you people. I'm just telling you the conversation I had with the doctor that modern medicine will probably rely on DNA. Yeah. And
yeah,
other
genetics exist. Like, yeah. Genetics are a real thing. If that makes you uncomfortable, then this show's not for you. But genetics exist, and it's a real thing.
No, and I'm talking about healing people. I'm talking that we might be able to do a better job of healing people by saying, hey, based on your personal medical history, this solution is going to work for you, and this one's going to work for you. Mm-hmm. If you've got a vaccine passport system that mandates everyone's got to get this one thing, I mean, these people are obsessed with science and medical solutions. It sounds to me like that would defy the progression of where science is going in more customized medical solutions for you personally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I got to say, this is, I think perhaps I'm wrong about this and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that this is clearly the most blatant form of discrimination under the law since Jim Crow.
And it's going to affect minorities, which is hilarious.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
Unvaccinated is like, Black Lives Matter. Let's get it out there.
Yeah. Well, I know you say this somewhat.
No, it's a saving grace. It fucks the leftists when all of a sudden you got hordes of minorities that aren't going to be allowed to do normal daily activities, such as even maybe have a job or go to a restaurant.
Let me say this before I get into that angle of it, because I actually think that's a really, really important thing that you're touching on. And I know it's easy to say these things tongue in cheek sometimes, and I have the same impulse, but I think it's really important, and I'll get into why. But how about the fact that there is literally zero consideration for people who can't take the vaccine? There are people who have severe allergies and cannot get this vaccine. Well, I guess it sucks to be you. Sorry, you just lost your basic freedoms. Oh, what did you wanted to live in New York City? Sorry, you don't have a key to that city. So you can't live, you know, you can't enjoy the city. You can't participate fully in society anymore. De Blasio decided. And the unbelievable, the appalling, you know, like nerve to make this personal medical decision for everyone. Look, I am sorry. Like, you can feel however you feel about the vaccine. You could be all for the vaccine. There are some people who, in their estimation, do not think it's worth it to get the vaccine. And for some people, they're right. That is, I don't know how you could deny that there are some people in certain situations where they are right to not want to get the vaccine. Like, for example, if somebody has a heart condition. Now, okay, it's been a very small amount of people who have taken the vaccine who have had heart complications, but there are some, right? So now let's say you have like a severe heart condition and you got COVID a month ago. Are you telling me it's smart for that person to take the vaccine when they know for a fact that they have immunity, probably better immunity than the vaccine is going to offer them? And even if it's a small chance, it's like, oh, I don't know. I have a heart condition. I don't want to take this vaccine. No, fuck that person. You don't have a key to the city.
Well, I guess if medicine really worked this way, there'd be no reason for anyone to ever see a doctor because we could just have one standardized solution for any given problem that you have. So there's really no reason to consult on any medical condition whatsoever. It could just be single diagnosis, single treatment. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
Hey, we can probably bring down the cost. Healthcare is very expensive in this country. We can get rid of every doctor in the country. We can just have WebMD, which basically just tells you got cancer every single time. And we could just be chemo everybody all the time.
We're just everyone at the front of a restaurant, they're just going to pinch your belly fat. And if they can get more, like if they can get all the way into their hand, get out of here. Get out of here, fatty. It's for your own good. Honestly, first off, that'd be more scientifically sound, but equally.
What about pregnant women? I mean, you talk about studies. I don't even think doctors are recommending the vaccines for pregnant women, so I guess they can't go. And then talk about doing something that's scientific. So it sounds to me when he says as long as you got one vax, that's a function of compliance where he's saying that since you've had one vaccine, it sounds like you're trying to make this change, and so we're not going to make you wait an entire month. But no one's accepting that one vax. Actually, they're saying for kids it might be better, but in the adult population, no one that's part of the problem with the vaccine is that you got to come back a second time and there's been a drop off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. All right. So I wanted to hit on your point. And this is something that's a little bit hard for me to exactly figure out how to navigate. But I do think that the point that you were making should be made very sincerely and passionately. And the truth is that we are going to have to find a way to attack this thing from the left. You know, I can sit here and talk about human liberties and, you know, government, you know, bossing around businesses and, you know, you could appeal to the Constitution or like any of these things. But the truth is that in America, the right wingers are already against this shit. And if anyone's going to put up with it, it's going to be the left. When I say the left, broadly speaking, the left half, you know, liberals, progressives, leftists, all of them. This is going to have to be attacked from the left. And the fact is that this is going to disproportionately, you know, unperson black people and immigrants.
Well, it'll be hilarious if they take the approach that like kind of what the protests from last summer where you had to socially distance unless you were protesting for Black Lives Matter. So maybe they'll institute this policy that minorities don't have the same access to health care. And so if they can't get the vaccines, this wouldn't apply to them. And I don't think it's going to go that way. But I think it's going to be a sight to be seen. When people in minority communities are unable to show up to their jobs and they're unable to go to businesses or stores or get the things they need. I mean, we're reinstitutionalizing federal segregation.
Yeah.
Or state segregation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, look, this is a real deal. It's there's never been a law. I don't even know if law is the right term. I mean, but there's never been a government enforced policy that created a caste system in this country since Jim Crow on this type of level, where you're like, there are now two classes of people. You know, okay, it's not white and black. It's vaxxed and unvaxxed, and the unvaxxed do happen to disproportionately be black people, but whatever. It doesn't really matter. I mean, like, the evil of Jim Crow was not that they did it to people with a different color skin. That just happened to be how they did it. The evil is that they did it to any group of people. Like, it's so the fact that they're doing this and just blatantly, you know, just that's it. Because, you know, it's so funny because we were just talking about on our last episode, this like kind of push to demonize, to scapegoat the unvaccinated as if somehow the Delta variant is their fault, which is complete bullshit. But anyway,
we invade India. I mean, if we really want to get to the source of this thing, let's go invade India. Let's kill off the million of people in poverty there. People living in poverty are always going to put us at risk for new diseases because they live in squalor. They're living on top of each other. They spread diseases quicker and they're able to mutate. And so we need to invade India and get rid of poor people. And if we're already getting rid of poor people, I'm sure there's other countries we can invade, or we don't even need to invade. I mean, we got the nukes, we've got drones.
Yeah, there you go. We'll take away their key to India, perhaps that. But I mean, just imagine, right? Like, you're trying to argue that this is for the people. I mean, look, it's not like, as we've talked about quite a bit, it's not even like they're arguing that vaccinated people can't get this thing and can't spread this thing. They can. We know this scientifically as a fact. We know that vaccinated people can get the Delta variant and they can spread the Delta variant. And according to Fauci and the study in Massachusetts and all that, it seems to indicate that if vaccinated people get it, they are just as likely to spread it as unvaccinated people are. So this is, the argument is that this is for the unvaccinated people, to help them. So in order to help them, you're going to take away their access to live a normal life in order to help you. Because we care about your health so much, we won't let you go to the gym.
It's like going to jail for doing drugs. You were ruining your life, so we're going to put you in jail to make it better. Yeah, right.
This will help you.
Government.
It's like we were really concerned about you doing some cocaine, so we're going to throw you in a cage to be raped. That's where the government comes in, because they care about you so much, you know? All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Blue Blocks. If you guys are anything like me, you may have noticed after a long day of getting too much screen time that you just don't feel good. You don't sleep as well. You don't have the same amount of energy. You just feel like something's off. I used to have that problem until I got a pair of Blue Blocks, because they block out the blue light and that's what's causing your eye strain. They also have a bunch of different frames. They're great for the glare. Blue Blocks sunglasses reduce 100% of glare, giving you the clearest vision. So it's great if you're driving. Unlike other brands, Blue Blocks filters 100% of UV light, which prevents damage to the cornea and reduces the risk of cataracts. And they're also just really cool looking. Blue Blocks glasses have been seen in Vogue, GQ, Cosmopolitan magazine, so you know you're getting the most fashionable and stylish frames available. You gotta go check out Blue Blocks. These are the best glasses on the market. They have sunglasses that come in non-prescription, prescription, and reading options, styles for everyone, and they have this virtual try-on app, which is so cool. So you can go right on and see how all the different frames look on you. Really, really cool. You gotta check them out. Blue Blocks also has other amazing products. As I mentioned, the blue light glasses, but they also have low blue light bulbs, red light therapy devices, and 100% blackout sleep masks, all backed by science. Blue Blocks ships worldwide in rapid time, easy returns and exchanges. Go to blueblocks.com/problem and use the coupon code problem and you'll save 15% off. That's blueblocks.com, blueblocks.com/problem. Use the promo code problem to get 15% off your order today. All right, let's get back into the show. Anyway, so this is pretty unbelievable to see this. It wasn't outside of the realm of possibilities. That's why I've been, you know, trying to warn about this for quite a while now. But this is going to be a game changer if it goes into effect. And because in a sick way, there was enough pushback against Biden implementing this nationally that he backed off of that. But if you remember, what the Biden administration was saying does make sense from their point of view. Now, keep in mind, their point of view is evil, and they would have us all living under some, you know, Chinese social credit system. But from their point of view, they're like, if we want to do this, we got to do this on a national level, right? And you can kind of understand why they would say that, because they're like, hey, there's some pretty obvious problems with just New York City doing this, right? Which is that, like, okay, so now you're just going to fuck over New York City. I mean, look, I don't know exactly how big the boycotts will be, but the unvaccinated in America are something like 30% of the adult population, right, are completely unvaccinated. And then you have the vast, vast majority of, you know, children and stuff like that. You just cut off, I mean, in terms of tourism and people visiting the city, you just cut off a huge percentage of the population. Now, okay, maybe you'll get some people to get vaccinated because they want to come to New York City that badly. But I, you know, at this point, you got to think, for the people who aren't vaccinated, they've had the biggest propaganda campaign in human history to try to get them vaccinated, and they're still not. It's also free. Not only free, they give you stuff, and they're still not. They're turning down the free stuff. They're turning down the propaganda. Now, the idea that this, what do you think is more likely? This is going to convince them to get vaccinated. I'm talking about outsiders traveling to New York. This is going to convince them to get vaccinated, or this is going to convince them not to go to New York City. And my guess is this is going to be a big hit, a big hit financially for the city, who, of course, you know, are so many of these industries, the fitness industry in particular, the restaurant industry in particular, these industries are hanging on by a thread. They've been through the worst 16 months ever. And now, of course, this is how you reward them. But it is something that the so-called, you know, this progressive mayor has now disenfranchised at least hundreds of thousands of minorities and immigrants from participating in this wonderful city, which was a lot more wonderful before this fucking asshole became mayor. I don't know. It's just tragic, and it's really heartbreaking for me as a New Yorker, as someone who was born and raised in that city. And perhaps the creepiest thing is how many people are rooting for it, and just it really lets you know almost how far gone we are. You know, it's like that's part of
ends the illusion of freedom. I mean, whatever illusion you had of it, if they force a vaccine passport upon us. And like you said, you understand now you're forced to have your phone on you everywhere, and you're forced to have a government program on there that's going to be knowing where you are at all times. Excuse me. Any illusion we have of freedom, it's over. I mean, what's left?
Yeah. And there's something, so, you know, people would be like, well, you know, you always had to have a vaccine to, you know, go into other countries or to go to like public schools. And I'm sorry, there's obviously such a profound difference between that and this. And even leaving aside the biggest thing, which is the app and what can be done on the back door of that app, you know? But, I mean, come on. Like, it's one thing. Look, if you have... We may be against government in general. And perhaps in the libertarian sphere, it's usually, you know, from the spectrum is usually like anarchy to minarchy, you know, meaning like the government shouldn't exist at all, to the government should be like really, really tiny and only do these like few things, you know. And usually the minarchist position is that what the government should do is basically just protection of liberty. That's kind of their role, you know, enforce contracts, have courts, have a military, a police department, like basically just like making sure no foreign country invades you, making sure no criminals, you know, violate your rights, and making sure like disputes are adjudicated and things like that, right? Like that's the big government libertarians, you know, the minarchists who believe in that, right? But there's such a profound difference between, we may want the government to be completely out of a lot of things that they do, but on things that are government property, not that it's legitimate, but you understand what I'm saying. It's one thing for them to have certain rules, right? So if you, citizen of this country, are going through a government, you know, security check in some other country, you'd understand them requiring something of you. It's just a little bit different. Like if there's a public park and we think that it should be privatized or something like that, but the public park has some rules there, like, hey, you can't piss in the middle of this park. All right. it is somewhat reasonable that if they're going to run this thing, then there's going to be some of their rules in the thing. And so public schools, you know, requiring vaccinations, I don't love it. But it's very, very different than the government insisting that you go to some business and they have to require this vaccination for you to enter the door. I mean, that's like such a drastically different level, so profoundly more of a violation of basic liberty. And how far are they going to push this thing, man? I mean, the idea of supermarkets was floated out originally. De Blasio didn't mention anything about that, but we'll see. I mean,
well, this is level one punishment. Let's understand what he said, that we need to instill a punishment on the non-vaccinated where they can't live normal lives as an incentive to go out and become vaccinated, right? So this is level one, right? If this doesn't work and enough of us, like, I mean, if he can just full on institute this and there's public support for it, and everyone goes, yes, there's something coming next. There's something coming after that. This is level one of, hey, I will make the lives of people who will not get vaccinated miserable because I can't actually tie them down and shoot this directly into them. So what can we do to make their lives uncomfortable that they finally say, okay, I'll become vaccinated?
Yeah. And think about this way, that they've spent 16 months of instituting all of these COVID restrictions and violating fundamental liberties in all of these profound ways. And they've been wrong about all of them. And what do they do every time? They double down, right? So when they're wrong about this next giant step, what are they going to do? They're going to double down again. They're going to insist that they need more restrictive passports and more, you know, punishments for the people who aren't vaccinated. But this is a real game changer in the way that, like, you know, after 9/11, when George W. Bush passes the Patriot Act and creates the Department of Homeland Security and all, and the TSA and ICE and all these government agencies. That's the beginning. Then what comes after that and after that and after that, the whole like NSA spying and all this shit, like all this stuff is all kind of like came from the Patriot Act. This is just, you've now created the apparatus by which just an unfathomable amount of tyrannical policies can flow through.
Can I say some crazy conspiracy shit now?
Go for it.
Okay, so along the lines of what you're saying, NSA, CSA, NSA, CIA, Facebook, big tech, blah, blah, blah. I venture to guess that they know a lot about all of us all the time. Now, how much interest they take in any of us to actually pull up our files is another thing. I don't think there's people at the NSA sitting down necessarily reviewing my file. I don't think I'm that important to them. But I think they have all the information they need. I think you kind of saw that from the Tucker Carlson thing. I know that they buy big data from the tech companies. If all of a sudden we allow them into our phones with tracking software, does that also become some sort of like a mask for then they can start actually using all of the things that they actually have, right. And claim that it's just being taken from this other app? One, two. And now this, I've said a lot of things that I did my homework on and were very accurate in the last couple episodes. This next thing I'm pulling out of my ass. I'm just, I feel like they're starting to really lose the story about the utility of these vaccines. And so now they're going into hyperdrive of, we really got to kind of make sure that this is in everybody so that there is no control group to prove that these aren't working that well. Listen, data is not great, but I just hear more and more people that I know personally who have gotten the vaccines that are getting sick. And I would venture to guess, I think over time we're going to find out that these vaccines might erode natural immunity in a way that people are reliant on them. Do I have any data on that? I'm pulling that one out of my ass. But I think what's his name's on the way out. He's at the end of his term as mayor. And so he might be the one who's willing to actually push this thing, because if there's severe, you know what I mean? I bet there's other mayors, like, he's an important mayor. And oddly enough, Cuomo has kept him from using his authority before. There's been more than one time that, like, he said, I'm going to shut down the city. And Cuomo just said that you're not. Interestingly enough, the system seems to be turning on Cuomo. So I wonder if this is just kind of like the first piece in the domino of, you know, mayors and them kind of ramping up this effort. And so he's like the first person to take the plunge, but that they're really trying to figure out how they can basically force this thing to make sure that there won't be any other options or data about people that didn't get this.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I think it's that is an interesting possibility to speculate about. It's hard to say. It's hard to say exactly. I mean, certainly de Blasio is the one who's willing to take this plunge. The truth is that if you really look at the situation and all of the evidence and everything we know now about, you know, since March or even before March, you know, when COVID first, you know, hit the news, say since, you know, January, February or whenever, and you look at everything we know now, like actually follow the science, not the way these, you know, bastards use that term. There's really only one logical conclusion that you come to of what we should do now. And it's
go back
simple.
In time,
it's
not simply, shut out, not shut down. Let,
well, no, but I'm saying
people get sick and get to natural immunity.
Well, listen, assuming we did everything that we did, saying right now, the only logical thing to do is just stop. It doesn't have to be this way. We just don't have to do this anymore. We know so much about it now. Look, obviously you're right about if we could go back in time, we shouldn't have locked down. We shouldn't have done all this craziness. We should. There's like a million things that we know now. We shouldn't have been putting so many people on ventilators, killed a whole bunch of people. Shouldn't have been sending COVID positive patients into nursing homes, killed a bunch of people. Okay. But even if I were to grant, they go, it was a novel virus. They didn't know at the time. And these aren't, you know, blood-soaked sociopathic monsters, as they clearly are, but they just got everything wrong. You know, okay. We know so much now. And we know that we can just stop. We can just stop and go back to normal life. Here's the reality of the situation. And these are just undeniable facts. COVID, by and large, kills old people and people who are immunocompromised. That is just the reality. I mean, look at the data. I'm not saying like they're slightly more likely to get sick and die, or they get are disproportionately affected. I'm talking about if you take them out of it, this isn't a pandemic. This isn't even a thing that would even be, we wouldn't even be talking about it on this level. The amount, you know, the amount of young, healthy people who die from COVID is negligible. This is not a problem. It is a problem for people who have weakened immune systems and who are old, which, you know, tend to, there's a Venn diagram there, right? So knowing that, the vaccine is available for those people now. And if they want to take it, what the scientific experts are telling us is that that will prevent them from getting very sick or dying. And if they're wrong about that, well, then this whole thing doesn't work anyway, right? Then there's no, if it doesn't prevent them from getting very sick and dying, well, then that certainly doesn't justify any of these policies. And if it does, then that doesn't justify any of these policies, because now those people who are at risk can take it. Or if they don't want to, they can assume their own fucking risk and go and live their lives. And the rest of people do not have to fucking be forced into this dystopian nightmare of a goddamn apartheid state in New York City.
And
that's it. It's the obvious conclusion. We can just stop. We can just live like relatively normal. That's like the real thing, man. I really hope people do. It's like whatever. If you still at this point can fucking remember how you felt in 2019, like if 2019 isn't fucking 1862 to you, and it's like you can still kind of remember that, fucking grab hold of that feeling. Do never, like, you know, never lose your grip on that feeling. Remember what 2019 was like, and remember how insane all of this is. This is not normal, okay? That was more normal. This is like, you know, anyone paying attention to this shit can tell you. Like, we can just stop. It does not have to be this way. And man, I really hope people fucking speak up about this, dude. I really hope. I hope there's fucking a huge fucking pushback, because this is it. Like, we really got to push back on this before it fucking it starts. I mean, I guess if it doesn't happen anywhere else and it starts in New York City, it's going to destroy the city so much that, you know, fucking maybe they'll just have to stop for their own economic incentives or whatever. But man, there's a whole bunch of fucking, a whole bunch of good people in New York City who are going to be completely fucked over by this. It's really awful. All right, guys, let's take a quick moment and speak to our listeners who are those super cool car guys who like to do things themselves and work on their own cars, I want to tell you guys about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. This is your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. RockAuto.com has been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts that you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to some counter guy who needs to order your parts and doesn't really know what exactly you're looking for, never has quite what you need, and then after all that hassle, they're still going to charge you storefront markups. At RockAuto.com, you can easily find everything you need, and whether you're a mechanic or an auto shop or you're just working on your own car, everyone has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. If you're a car guy, right now go to rockauto.com. Check out all of their parts available for your car. You're going to have so much fun looking at all this cool stuff. Once more, rockauto.com. No promo code needed because their prices are already that good. But when you order, make sure to tell them that you heard about it here on Part of the Problem so they know. rockauto.com, RockAuto.com. All right, let's get back into the show.
I also want to point out, I don't understand how we can still call this a pandemic between the, I think, 100, 150 million people that have been vaccinated and the amount of people that were already exposed to the virus must have some sort of natural immunity. And the fact that 80% of current cases are a Delta variant that, from what I understand, is less deadly. How is this a pandemic? Like every single thing I'm reading is fear mongering about that they're seeing more kids in hospitals or a higher percentage of the people in hospital are unvaccinated kids. But they don't tell me that hospitals are being overrun. Like they don't tell me how many people are we talking about are being in hospitals? How many people are we actually talking about that are dying? Can you explain to me? Maybe I'm missing something here. I'm very available on Twitter and whatever else. But please explain to me how this is still a pandemic. If the vaccines work and there's the amount of people in this country that were vaccinated and we can probably run some math about how many people have been infected. And we know that whatever the infection rate that we have is going to be underneath what it actually was, considering that so many people don't show symptoms and for a while testing wasn't available. How are we at pandemic level still? How is this still a pandemic?
This is in, so let me try to see what have I got here. The date I got here is July 3rd. So I guess this is, you know, a month ago or whatever, but I'm looking for the United States, total COVID deaths, 86, you know, I mean,
shut down the country, remove freedoms, put passports on people's computer where the government can control your phone. 86 people have died. Shut it down, guys. Stay in your homes. There are 86 deaths. How many highway deaths were there yesterday?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, you're talking about in a country of 330 million people. Like, again, it's sad now. And again, but then you go back to it now of that 86. Again, I don't have this data right in front of me, but of that 86, almost guaranteed 80 of them were fucking, you know, or somewhere in that ballpark were people who were very old, had severe underlying health conditions, and probably the vast majority had comorbidities, meaning that they just weren't, you know what I mean, even like it's not even clear that COVID is what killed them, or it's not, or in the case of, like, there was one UK study that showed that 2/3 of the COVID deaths were people who were almost certainly going to die that year anyway. You know what I mean? Again, not taking anything away from that. That's still tragic. But, you know, if someone who's got, like, you know, 2 months to live dies today, that's a little bit different than just someone dying. You know what I mean? Who expected to have, you know, decades more in their life. So that's what it is. It's this fucking simple. If we have a fucking virus that is predominantly attacking people who have serious underlying health conditions or people who are very old, and then you have a vaccine that you say will prevent people from being hospitalized or dying, then it's over. It's the only logical conclusion from that. The only logical conclusion. And like I've been saying for a while here, once you reach this point, we now have a fork in the road. And this is what I've been saying for quite a while. And one, like, it's pretty binary at this point. There's I suppose it could be, you know, some gray area, but it's more or less, it's pretty binary. We could stop and just realize it doesn't have to be this way and go back to being somewhat normal, or we can go in this very creepy direction. And de Blasio put all his chips in, lunged on creepy direction. So, and let's hope this fucking doesn't go into effect, man.
If it goes into effect, we move in the show?
I don't know, dude.
I mean, I got to think about it. That seems to end the even the dream of potentially establishing myself in New York City as a comedian and getting regular stage time at clubs. So, like, even though I might not be there, it would close the door on that even being an option. So I would have to, I mean, I would be forced to somewhat reconsider my strategy here.
Yeah, I feel, you know, I got to think about this a little bit, but I feel really...
And I don't want to be compliant. Like, I almost don't want to contribute to the New York City economy. I don't want to be a part, like...
Like, that's right. Like, even if I was vaccinated, first off, I'm not going to be bullied into doing it by these guys that who I despise, you know? And I'm also, I don't want to endorse a system that would discriminate against people just for making a personal medical decision. Like, even if I was, even if I did take the fucking jab, I don't want to participate in a system that would, like, disenfranchise people for making a different decision. So I don't know. Who am I to say that they're making the wrong medical decision? I don't know that. I don't know all of their factors. I don't know their life. And so, yeah, it does. It really makes me, like, question everything about what the future holds. So I guess I'll have to think about that. You'll have to think about that. We'll have to talk and decide what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do with Legion of Skanks. I don't know, you know, like, what the policy at the stand is going to be. I've got to talk to the guys about that. But I got to say, I feel real weird about having our show somewhere where they would discriminate against a whole bunch of our fans and not let them in. So I don't know, you know, have to think about it, but there you go. Apartheid in New York City. That's today's show.
So, there's something very lame to me. I understand if you're a comedy club, you got a business to run. I got a lot of respect for people. Running a business is hard. Fighting the government stuff. God bless. I mean, if you got a comedy club and you got to institute a policy that you can only allow certain people in, and that's a government mandate, God bless. The fact that so many comedians in the general industry is pro-government, pro-big pharma, doesn't think about these things for themselves. It's like, where are all the Lenny Bruce, Bill Hick, George Carlin? Like, quit calling these people that were icons or of interest to you. Like, you're just hook and sinker. Like, those people were legendary because they actually had opinions. They challenged the point of view of the system. And, like, they changed American culture for the better by bringing good ideas. And now, like, there's no critical thinking. It's, hey, the government order. Like, these comics, like, what would they be? Vietnam War. They would have been like, we got to go to Vietnam. The government said Vietnam. We all got to go fight. We got to serve our cuts. Like, what the fuck happened to comedians?
Yeah. Hell, I agree with you. Yeah, you're preaching in the choir. And to see these, like, you know, I don't know, these clubs letting you know what their policies are, and we're going to make sure everyone's vaccinated and we're still recommending mask wearing, except, you know, of course, for once you sit down at the show, then everyone can take their masks off and laugh and, like, right. We're not, because none of you really believe this. You know what I mean? It's like these policies when, you know, like even when they'll say, like, the what the CDC guidelines for schools were, and it's like, the kids have to be masked all day. Kids have to be masked all day long, except for lunch. And you're like, well, so do we need these masks or not? What are you telling me? That there's for a half hour a day, we'll risk this pandemic, you know?
I think 15 minutes is all you need to transmit the virus. So way to follow the science. You should have had them, I guess, eat in 15-minute junctions and then go outside. It's all bullshit, dude.
Well, like, if it's that serious, then it's that serious, right? And this is the same thing that's been going on for the entirety of the pandemic. It's this very weird thing, you know, that I guess is part of human nature to some degree. But there can be a pretty wide chasm between someone's stated beliefs and what they really believe. You know what I mean? Like, it's if you see those the like 9/11 hijackers who were going to strip clubs and shit like that. You know, right. Like, they claim to be these, like, devout Muslims, but, like, are you really? How much do you really believe this shit? It's true in general with a lot of, you know, like, a lot of religious people who, like, well, cheat on their wives or things like that, you know, and you're kind of like, okay, well, do you really believe you're going to be, you know, damned for eternity? Because if you did, I don't think you'd do that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but with the COVID shit, it's like from the very beginning when you saw it, you see all these people, these politicians and people, you know, pushing this mask shit, and then they're caught without masks, you know, and they're caught. It's like, okay, so you don't really fucking believe this shit. You're not actually deathly afraid of this fucking pandemic. That's not what this is about. And for so many people, and you see this, you know, in the comedy world, because we're closer to that, we know more of the people. It's like there's people pushing this shit. Like, you don't even fucking believe this, dude. You're acting right now. You're playing a part. And you enjoy this part and this script. But you don't fucking believe any of this is real. But
it's like a dumb human control thing that it's almost like a training from school and our parents that we feel like there's rewards for trying. It's not necessarily finishing things or getting it right. It's the fact that you put in the effort and you tried. Or maybe that's also like a religious belief in people that it's like the forces of the universe are going to see that you put in the effort and you tried. But sometimes it's like, I don't know, if you're diabetic and like they actually tell you, hey, if you have any sugar, you're going to die. You can't have any sugar. But many people are like, well, I'm cutting back. Like sometimes, you know what I mean? The world doesn't actually care about trying. It doesn't matter. I mean, I guess that's the Yoda bullshit of don't try, do. But that was true of like the beginning of the pandemic. They said at one point they thought, I might not have this number right anymore, but one about every five or something people working in a grocery store had it. So it's like the fact that we tried to somewhat shut down, it didn't matter, because when you went to the grocery store, which was the one place we were all going, there was a good chance of exposure. It's either like sometimes things in life actually all are all or nothing, which is kind of what you're pointing out with like, you don't really believe it. So you're bringing the kids into school, you're having them wear the mask, but you take it off for a half hour. Well, so then it's like a try thing where you're just like, in other words, it's almost like a tool for training compliance or like a mental fallacy of, well, we put in the effort and we tried, but it's like, that doesn't actually do it. It's like a yes or no, you know what I mean? It seems to me on something like this, if you fully believe that any exposure is going to get you sick. So it's like, it's more of a yes or no equation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a good way to look at it. All right, so let me just say this, and then I guess we could wrap up. I will say that this shit right here, this becomes a whole new paradigm in politics. I mean, I think this has been true throughout COVID, but I will officially say that this is how I view things at this point. That I do not think the most important split is left or right. I don't think the most important split is libertarian versus statist, although those themes certainly exist. And then that still is an important distinction. But right now, it's the people who are against this shit versus the people who are for it. That's the only really important political distinction. It's the people who would see Mayor Bill de Blasio institute a caste system in New York City and oppose that versus the people who will not. And that's it. I mean, this is like blatant discrimination under the law, an egregious violation of property rights and personal liberty that certainly hard to find one rivaled in my lifetime. And if you're not, you know, loudly, vocally opposing this, and you consider yourself someone who believes in liberty, I question whether you really do. And I certainly question, I don't even question, I know we don't need those people. Anyone who claims to be in the libertarian world or uses that word, who's talking about how like, well, it's not that bad, just get the vaccine, or, well, you know, what do you want to do? I'd rather get the vaccine than fucking have to deal with another lockdown or something like that. Those people are not the people we need. What we need are, you know, I will take a fucking right winger who actually opposes an egregious violation of liberty when it happens over a libertarian who fucking gives caveats and makes excuses. Yeah, you know, this isn't good, but we really do need more people to get vaccinated. So basically, you know, I have the same ends as these status monsters, but I don't know if this is the best means to go about it. It's like, no. I don't have the fucking same ends as them at all. They want a fucking new dystopian normal, and I want normal. We don't have the same ends. And you see injustice, you fucking speak out against it. Otherwise, what the fuck is the point? The fuck is the point of you? What is the point of you being here? What is the point of you slowing the rest of us down? This is it. Like I said, this is the big one. And if we let this happen, things are going to get bad. That'd be my guess. So let's hopefully we're going to see some fucking major pushback. Hopefully we're going to scare these people, which can be done, and scare these people enough that they pull back, that they go, oh shit, this is just going to be too bad. That people are going to be too furious. And so we got to pull this back and think about it later. If we get them to fold on this, here's the flip side. I'll leave with a more optimistic note. If we were to get them to fold, let's say that de Blasio, who just announced this, let's say there's mass pushback, there's protests, there's boycotts. It's just like, and he goes, all right, we're going to pull back. We're not going to do this. If that happens, the COVID passports have been defeated in the United States of America. They won't try it anywhere else. Okay? So think about things like that. This is the time. Stand the fuck up, tell the truth, and oppose evil. And we'll wrap on that.
If you attend a protest and people start walking into a building, don't go in.
Yeah, don't go into the building. Yeah, if someone tells you to break a law or something like that, that guy's probably fed. So don't listen to them. If you protest it, be fucking peaceful and don't break the law.
And here's your last chance for freedom. Washington, D.C. this Sunday. Me, you, BK Chris, live podcast afterwards. Rochester at the end of the month. I'm personally going to be down in Nashville August 14th. So show the hell up. We got some good comedy for you guys. And, you know, we're going to keep doing it. And fuck the whole goddamn system, dude.
Yeah, there you go.
I like you, God. I try not to use that word. My bad.
I'll talk to him. I'll put in a good word for you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you soon. Peace.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.